Blog Talk Radio.
Friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
what's more to be. With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to take over this service, to speak through us, Father, so that the words that are heard this morning are not mine, but yours. May He open our hearts and our minds to be receptive. So, Father, that we don't forget these words and that we can live by them, Father, walking upon that pathway of righteousness in order to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we're asking for that presence. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to be in Mark 12. Give you just a moment to get there. All right. Mark 12, verse 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. We're back into parables again. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wheat vat, wine vat, and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. In other words, today, we call that sharecroppers. Led out to sharecropper. They both make money off of it. Now, 2. And at the season, he said to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. You see, he's wanting his part here now. 3. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. They're not wanting to give the man now his part. Four. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. Well, we know how that's going today, don't we? Now that's going on. Not much better than this parable right here. Seven. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. Now, you see, this is a parable given to you and I about the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, His only Son at the time. Now, because of the sin and the evil man was doing upon this earth, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to help mankind and bring back what belongs to the Father. What did they do to him? They done just exactly what they did to this husband. They took him, they beat him, they mocked him, they rejected him, and they ended up crucifying him to kill him. You know, we don't have to wonder what the Lord will do with us for rejecting him, mistreating, and the evil we do. Because he's told us exactly what will happen. Now it's our choice on whether or not we are going to receive his son or not. But if we don't, we're going to end up in a lake of fire throughout eternity. Just that simple. And we have no excuse because we are told. And we're told in so many ways. This is just one way. Now, 10. And had you not read this scripture, the stone when the builders rejected, which the builders rejected, is become the head of the corner. You see, Jesus is the head of our church. He is the head of the church. Not all churches belong to his church. Because man has built walls to separate themselves from others, which the scripture and the word of God tells us not to do. We'll be getting into it. But we're told not to build them walls. Now, they don't call them walls. They call them denominations. But it separates. And with the Lord Jesus Christ and his church, which is within mankind, there is no separation. We are all to stand in unity, looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, putting our trust in him, and believing in the word of Almighty God. And bringing it into our lives and bringing it to life through us. That's what it's about. So that we are the born-again children of Almighty God. And he can use you and I to reach out into this dying world that we're living in. For those that are walking in darkness, in sin, with the word, and be walking as an example for them to see. And want what we have. Helping them to learn that they are in need of something a lot bigger and better than they are. And that being Jesus. Now, you know, a lot of times, man just will not believe. He'll make all kinds of excuses. And God's not going to accept an excuse. But the Lord Jesus Christ is to be first and foremost in your life. Man or woman. There are certain works for us and different works for each of us. We need to go to Jesus, repent, be forgiven, heal that plan of salvation, become that born-again child of God, and we then will find out what it is that God wants us to do. And begin walking and doing that. Become pleasing unto God. All right, verse 11. This was the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Yes, when you really see the work of the Lord, it is astonishing. It is marvelous. It is miraculous. And it fills us with joy and comfort. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. But you see, these people here in Jesus' day is standing against him while he's here on this earth and in a constant rejection. And really, it is people that should have known better. Everything and all these that are leading others against Jesus are supposed to be their religious leaders. They're not believing the prophets or anything. Because Isaiah told of the Lord's coming. Jeremiah told of the Lord's coming. Even Moses told some about the Lord's coming. Think about this. They should have been the ones that had no problem with him at all. But they're the ones leading people against him. Now, 13. And they sent it to hand certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. See, always, always coming against him to test him, trying to catch him in something that they could actually put him to death over. 14. And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? They're wanting to hear him say something against Caesar. But you know, mankind is just, you can't trick the Lord into doing anything. Because he knows everything. Especially with us. He knows every thought, every evil thought, every good thought in your mind and in your heart. 15. Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, see, he knows. He's calling it hypocrisy. He, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt you me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he said unto them, Whose is this image and subscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. They marveled at him because he knew what they were thinking. And he was way ahead of them. Now, then come unto him the Sadducees, which say, There is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, If a man, brother, dies and leaves his wife behind and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed to his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. The second took her, and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman also died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall raise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. You see, they don't believe in the resurrection to start with. The Sadducees didn't. But they're trying, again, they're tempting and trying to trick the Lord into something that they can bring forth death about. But like I say, Jesus knows all and is always ahead. 24. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? He's letting them know. you don't know the scripture nor the power of God. For when they shall raise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Now, you want to know what you're going to be like? He just told you. He just told you. But does it mean we're not going to know each other? No, I wouldn't think so. Because, you know, Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham in heaven. And the rich man had died and went to hell. But even from there, he could see Lazarus and know him. Now, 26. And as touching the dead that are raised, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. In other words, you don't know. And you are really erring in your beliefs, in your way of thinking. You need, what they needed was to get in the scripture and get right with the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we do today. Now, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? What is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first commandment of the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. He's really letting you and I know, isn't he, how to walk on this earth? Because who is our neighbor? It's all of those that we are in contact with, and those that even live, they may even live close to us, and yet we don't know them. But we are to love them and to pray for them. Pray for our communities. We pray for our cities. We pray for our state. We pray for our country. We pray for our church and all churches. And for those churches especially that have built walls and caused division, pray that they will tear them walls down, and that they will come into the church of the Lord Jesus and with one accord, all believing in the word of God as it is written, and not going contrary and making it say things that it doesn't say, but listening to exactly what God is saying to us. Now, we got to love that neighbor as we love ourselves. And we know that God has just told us there is no commandments greater than those two. That the Lord God comes first. And then we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Means we are to help that neighbor. We are to help those that are in need of help. Whatever way we can help. Now, 32. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Because he in his heart is getting close and closer and closer. And that's what we must do each and every day of our lives here on this earth. Go closer and closer unto the Lord Jesus Christ to make heaven our home. And no man after that does ask 35. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? In other words, if David calls him Lord, how can Jesus be David's son or his seed? Well, we know how, because we've been through that. And the common people heard him gladly. 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. In other words, when you proclaim to be a child of God, you better be one that is of his word and walking in it. And not as these were doing, pretending and causing others to fall and stay away from God. There's a lot in this book to learn for you and I to walk in. Now, And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which makes a following. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them. Now, you know, he'd cast in, or she had cast in, two mites. Not much. And these others had been sent around. They were rich, and they were casting in quite a bit. But here in 43, and he called unto them his disciples, saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more in than all they which have cast into the treasure. They couldn't understand that. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She had gave everything she had. And that is exactly what you and I must do in this day and time, is to give all we've got to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we have, we must be willing to give to him as he may call for it. But we do pay our tithes. We give offerings unto the church. And there's three times a year that we are to honor feasts. And we don't honor that feast with empty hands. We take an offering to give. Because you see, God knows that it takes it's called meat in the scripture, but it's finances, in order to operate as his children and as a church. He knows that. And that's why a lot of these rules, regulations, and laws were handed down to us, to make sure that we could do the things God was calling on us to do, and to keep the churches going. And we're seeing so many of them today closing. Around me, within 25-minute ride, riding around in a circle, we have 4 churches already closed, 3 more on the verge of closing, and maybe even more that I don't know of, but those I do know of. Now, well, let's see. We've come to the end of chapter 12. 13 is quite lengthy, but we still got about 20-some minutes to go to the end of our broadcast. So let's get started here with 13. We may not get through it all, but let's see what the Lord's got for us. Chapter 13, verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Jesus answering and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Now you see why we're probably not going to get all the way through 13. We'll see. 5. And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. And there's a lot of that going on. 6. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We've had that going. We've had several. Right here in our land, come proclaiming that they were Jesus, the Son of God, and fool many, even to the point that one had their whole group to drink poison and die. And there in Korea, among Sun Moon, claimed to be Christ, had 1 million followers. This is not something that's coming. These are things that have already begun. We don't know how many more will come that way, or if there'll be any at all. But we have seen those and know of them. Now, 7. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must need be, but the end shall not be yet. Well, we got that going on right now. There's not a country right now really at peace. It's not thinking of or dreading war with somebody. Now, not a world war, thank God for that, but war with other countries. Now, 8. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places. There shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. All of that has been going on. I don't know how much of that you do know, but it's all been going on. It's even been on radio and TV. Been cities along the coast. Almost completely destroyed because of waves coming in where there had been an earthquake. And here in our own land, we've got earthquakes, small earthquakes and things happening almost every day. 9. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Now we know this happened to his disciples and his apostles. Because all of his disciples but one was martyred They were killed. Now, but it's also letting you and I know that there is a day coming going to be the same way for you and I. Now, 10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Right now, we can reach all nations through the internet. And really, there's not many that can't be reached by mankind today. Now, pardon me. 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. You hear what he's saying? But think about that. You see, that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit cannot speak for you if you haven't let him in. And if you're not walking right with Almighty God. 12. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death. Don't tell on each other. Because of fear. And the father, the son, and children shall raise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. You see, family will come against family. 13. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And right now in our land, our own land, here, all of us that are Christian, and even those that are not really born again, but claim to be Christian, most in our land are against us. Our governments are against you and I. Think about it. Now, 14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. That abomination, desolation. You know, the abomination means something or someone detestable to God, probably refers to two things. One should be the discretion of the temple in the course of the fall. And the other may mean a man of sin of the end time. And where are we? We are living in the end time. Now, and let him that is on the housetop, not go down into the house, neither into their end to take anything out of his house when this happens. Because you see, he's going to flee. He's going to have to hide. Now, or die. 16. Let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with all and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. The Lord Jesus Christ is warning us about things coming. And a lot of things that has already started and is going on in this day and time. Now, 19. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Now, 20. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. Think about that. God has shortened the days. And all for his elect. 21. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For Christ, or false Christ, and false prophets shall raise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. You see, they're going to carry even a certain amount of power of things. And a lot of things will be fake. But none of it will be from God. We're going to end here with verse 23. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. He's telling them, take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. He's foretold these things. And a lot of them will be, and is happening, that's the day, in our day and time. Look around you. Famine, pestilence, earthquakes, wars. So much going on in the world today. But right here in our own land, look what mankind is called. This covert has been going on over 2 years. And look what mankind did even through that. Who were they really against? They were really against the church. They told the churches they had to close. But they left the beer joints and whiskey stores open. They said they were essential. But the church wasn't essential. The most essential thing to mankind today, they claimed wasn't essential and ordered it to be closed. Well, there's a few that didn't close. Thank God for that. But most did. They disobeyed the word of God and closed their doors. The word of God tells you and I, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. He's telling you, don't stop that. Forsake that. Don't stop that. But most of them did. In fact, there was only a couple that I know of across our land that didn't close. They kept right on going. Praise God for them. And praise God for those men in the pulpit of those churches. Because they were standing for God and not with mankind. All right. We're going to stop there for the time being. Get ready in a minute to go to prayer. First, I want to let you know to be back with us this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You know, we are having this Bible study every day. 10 in the morning, 6 in the evening, both Eastern Time. We're on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. You can join us on either one of those. Now this evening, those that might listen to this or hear this message, if you have pencil and paper, I'll let you know how you can get in touch with me, if that's what you would want to do. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word for this morning, we thank you, Father, for keeping this record for us, this living word, to give us a way of being able, Father, to make heaven our home, to spend it with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for all of us in this ministry, the ministry you have set me over, for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Sue and David Branson, for myself, and for all of our families. Father, we know we have family members that are lost, walking in darkness. I pray that the Holy Spirit keeps on working with them, speaking with them, and helps us to bring them from darkness to light. To light, and that light being Jesus Christ, so that none of them be lost and all will find heaven as their home. Now, Father, for our land and our people, I pray for them, Father, I pray that come this election day, that we take all of those out of office that's against you, against your church, and replace them, Father, with ones that will work with us for the church, for the Lord Jesus Christ, putting him back into every place he was taken out of, repenting of their evil deeds. And become a government for you. And be put back upon the foundation that our government was founded on. And that being on your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us all throughout this evening. Until 6 p.m., bring us back together and keep us walking, Father, in righteousness. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. Have a great evening.